Rams head coach Sean McVay can't say much about Marcus Peters until the trade with the Chiefs becomes official on March 14th. But at a Kansas City awards show Saturday, he shared a few thoughts, including how he treats players with past discipline questions like Marcus Peters.
With personalities, it all goes back to connecting with these guys, building and developing relationships, and to be able to coach or work with guys in a manner where you can have some sustained success.
Elsewhere, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reporting Blake Bortles' new three-year contract could be worth up to $66.5 million with incentives. It saves the Jags money, too, lowering the quarterback's salary cap number from $19 to $10 million in 2018. And this week, you can watch all the top draft prospects at the 2018 NFL Scouting Combine live only on NFL Network. Our Combine coverage starts Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
If your old washer won't and your old dryer doesn't, the Home Depot's about to make your laundry day with up to 35% off appliance special buys. Like the Electrolux high-efficiency front-load washer and electric dryer, now just $4.98 each, and 50% off matching pedestals. For guaranteed energy-efficient performance and plenty of change in your pockets, come to the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. Gas dryer extras. See store for details. Valid through February 28th.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many plans nationwide, Walgreens offers copays as low as $0 on select plans. So switching your prescriptions to Walgreens will be worth the trip. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, so you could be saving big. Switch your prescriptions and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. $0 copays apply to Tier 1 generic.
505, welcome back. Welcome to hour number two of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show, coming your way on 107.5 or 106.3 and 1600 AM right now, because 107.5 FM has high school basketball. Had I known that, I would have given people a warning prior to ending hour number one, but the schedules always get moved around. Games run long and things change. So we are off on 107.5 FM right now. Hopefully our Cedar Rapids listeners have located us on 1600 AM. Maybe you're listening online, kgymradio.com. You are going to want to be listening in the next 30 minutes if you'd like to go to Road to WrestleMania, WWE, coming to the U.S. Cellular Center this Sunday night at 5 o'clock. It's always entertaining. This may be the single best card WWE has ever sent to Cedar Rapids. Lots of big names, and you could go on us and the Cell Center. Just be listening for your chance to win before the bottom of the hour. Mac McCausland joins us every Monday to talk Hawkeye hoops. We finally got a Hawkeye win to talk about, Big Ten tournament. But Mac, let's go ahead and start with the question of the day. It's our poll question at kgymradio.com. If you're in Jordan Bohannon's shoes last night, do you make the free throw that breaks Chris Street's record, or do you miss as Jordan intentionally did last night? Put yourself in his position. What do you do?
In the situation of last night with the game either at 7 or 8 points, Iowa playing very well, got a great understanding with the relationship of the parents, and I hate to say the key item might be the fact they're all Iowans. In other words, Chris Street, his parents, J-Bo. I will go ahead and probably miss it, but I might miss it after 33, because I think, then it is Chris Street's record. Now it's a shared record. But if you look at it and you are, let's say 14-3 in the Big Ten, and it's a 4-point game, 3-point game, probably don't miss it, and I think the Street family would understand. So the good thing is they talked about it ahead of time. I mean, there were a number of things that I've heard were discussed. One was he'll get to 40 free throws and then miss intentionally. The other was, just what he did. Tie it, and then miss. But I will tell you, if you're going to miss a free throw, I mean, that ball could have hit the front of the rim and popped up and gone in, which would have been, when you're trying to miss, that's not a good thing to have happen. Miss it wide left, wide right, you know, hand it back to the official and just say, I'm not shooting it. You know, whatever you can do there. But what a classy moment. And when you put Iowa, the University of Iowa, the state of Iowa, the people of Iowa, that have the hospital wave, and somebody that thought enough of number 40 to miss a point in his career when he's a very competitive young man, I mean, that moved Iowa up on the charts for good guys. Now, I don't know if we'll get any points, don't know if we'll get any records, but, you know, it's way different than what else has gone on this last week in college basketball with cheating, alleged cheating. Years ago, you had shaving of points. So, I mean, it's just a very interesting concept that I admire Jay Bo for. I admire the Hawkeye teammates staying behind him. You know, I'm not so sure how many people in today's world, all about me, you know, they could acknowledge Chris Street, acknowledge the parents in the crowd, and then go ahead and make it or try to make it. So hats off to everybody in this one. I mean, ESPN picked it up. Obviously, Big Ten Network picked it up. It just had everybody talking about it in the sports world. And I think all of them kind of did the flip-flop with all the bad stuff. Let me tell you about this story in Iowa. So I think it was really, really solid meat.
On the flip side there, there are some folks out there that say, wouldn't the best way to honor Chris Street, who was the ultimate competitor, have been to make the free throw? Can you understand that line of thinking?
Not really. I think, first of all, I was lucky enough to know Chris. Definitely know his parents. I mean, I go there every year, see Mike, see Patty, but see Mike, talk to him quite a bit. Kent's gotten to know their family a lot. It would be hard to go ahead and make it unless it was consequential to the team. Then Chris Street would understand it. But when you're 3-14 and you're already up, and the other thing, J-Bo is just a sophomore. Now, the second time around, if he gets to that number, I would not expect him to miss it. And I think that's what the streets would tell him. You know, hey, when you can start making 34 in a row twice, it's your record now, you know, not Chris's. So there's just a lot there that you can think about. But people that say, gee, you ought to make it or try to make it, I don't think they really understand truly the emotion of Chris Street, the funeral, his competitiveness. And then here you have a young man that grew up hearing about number 40, really having a good feel for his 2 years at Iowa, meeting the parents, and I'm going to guess their daughters too. So, no, you miss it unless it's consequential to the team and maybe your ultimate tournament bid or a championship.
Now, Mac, we're getting into silly season when a team has four Big Ten wins. You're going to get rumors about what's going to go on in the offseason. But does this show a kid who wasn't even born when Chris Street passed away, and the awareness of the history of the Hawkeyes by a young man like Jordan Bohannon, does it show his buy-in to this program?
Oh, no question. And like you say, we don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, if you just even look at rosters, you look at minutes played by certain people. Yesterday, Brady Ellington didn't get off the bench. I don't know if he was sick or injured. I didn't see anything about that. And you've got, you know, four or five bigs that, you know, over the next couple of years, some of those people are going to have their minutes cut. If you ask me, is anybody ready to go to the NBA? I will tell you absolutely not. I think there are some players potentially that can certainly have a career beyond Iowa. And I would also say some people may feel it's in their best interest in terms of playing time, maybe getting a degree somewhere else that they might transfer. But Iowa is not known, whether it's football or basketball or any sport that I'm aware of, where they've really run off kids. I think sometimes you can be very honest and say your foot speed, your shot, your ball handling is not to the Big Ten level where we want to be. It's Big Ten level if you want to finish 13th or 12th, but it's not Big Ten level to finish in the top four. And it's interesting that Michigan with their skilled people, have really dropped to a five position.
Talking Hawkeye hoops with Mac McCausland, Iowa 77-70 winner over Northwestern last night. By the way, Scotty Lindsey, who Iowa was recruiting Scotty Lindsey and Brady Ellingson. Ellingson got the scholarship. Scotty Lindsey, 32 points in 40 minutes last night for a shorthanded Wildcats team. Illinois up next for Iowa at Madison Square Garden. Mac, and I don't know about you, but I mean, there's not a great draw for the Hawkeyes, but I think this is probably a team they were looking to avoid. It's not a good matchup, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think of the last four teams, this is the one you didn't want to play. Just on another short, quick note, I did get a chance to visit with Chris Collins today, and he did talk about Jay Bowe and how great a shooter he is and how much he respects him. He said, I just wish we could have played better. But he literally had six scholarship players, and only, I think, one of them played 13 minutes and all the rest played near 40. So, I mean, that's an effort on their part to come in and play considering the expectations they had. And he did talk about Iowa is so hard to guard. He said, especially when Isaiah Moss becomes a factor, if you could stay off Isaiah, and he said, you know, we know all about him from Chicago, then you can really guard the bigs a little bit. You can come after Jay Bowe and get the ball out of his hands. But he said, when that kid starts to shoot it, drive it, Iowa is a different team. So I thought that was an interesting concept to hear, you know, from somebody else and obviously their scouting report. And then Illinois, I mean, what did Iowa do? 104 points, 103 points, I believe. 104 down at Illinois. I mean, Illinois, that's like two games for them to give up. So I certainly don't expect 104 to 97, even though Iowa loves to run. You could see it. The game yesterday, last night, evening, whatever you want to call it, was as entertaining a game maybe at home we had all year. Jay Bowe on the shot, the record, seeing Moss do some things. When all of a sudden you look at Tyler and Luca, and you know there's a great chance they'll be back, and you see the numbers they put up. It's an interesting group, and then you know you got two scorers coming in. Frederick, I think, was nominated for Kentucky Player of the Year. And I think he's one of the final eight, if I'm correct. And then Wieskamp coming in. So, you know, we do have some more offense coming. We might need a little more defense. But entertainment-wise, it's going to be pretty good. But you're right. Illinois, very, very aggressive, man-to-man. And it's mano-to-mano. I mean, it's like the old UNLV defense. You know, you score against me, I'm going to score against you. There's not a whole lot of double team, a lot of trapping. And if they do, they sprint back to their people to get them. Now, they don't have great offense because I think they spend their time on defense. And Underwood has always done that. So it'll be interesting to see which will comes out on that game. And then I think, like we said, the winner plays Michigan. And that won't be an easy draw. They're as skilled as anybody in the Big Ten.
Now, Mac, we've talked about this before, why it's so difficult to go on the road and win games, but Todd brought up a statistic just a second ago that the average Big Ten team will have to travel over 620 miles to get to Madison Square Garden in New York. What gives when you have a tournament of teams that are kind of out of their element, having to go on the road but in a neutral environment to play the Big Ten tournament?
You know what I think when I look at that? It is interesting. Already, Commissioner Delaney has said we will not play the week before everybody else in the tournament. Well, I believe I've had it on good word that the Big East has Madison Square Garden pretty well wrapped up for a number of years yet. And I think Madison Square Garden would want that because they would draw more people. I think they went to New York for Penn State, Rutgers, and Maryland. And when you go for those three, I think Maryland will be the only one that draws any people. And even for them, it was a down season, so I'm not sure how many people will go. But, you know, you talk about the players. I'm going to talk about an empty gym. When, you know, you've got Iowa playing, you've got Minnesota playing, and you've got Illinois playing, I'm not so sure you could fill up a good-sized high school gym with the number of people that will be there for those three teams. And so it's really going to come down to who is mentally tough, which coach understands that, and which coach can coach up his team. And I think that's the one that's going to jump out. And then, again, you still have people, you know, from Northwestern, Wisconsin, which are in the bottom half. How many of those people will travel? And even when you get to Michigan and Michigan State, as we've talked before, unless Todd takes me, I can't afford to go to New York for, you know, 5 nights. And that's the other thing about the tournament. You don't know if you're going to be there 1 night, 5 nights. So you may have to change your flight. And it's a long ways to drive. So to your point, this thing, I think it is, quite frankly, pretty screwed up to represent the Big Ten. And I know the way it has for years at Indiana or Indianapolis and at Chicago, when media could get there, fans could get there, and it was terrific atmosphere in both places. But I'll take Indianapolis every year.
Mac McCausland with us talking Hawkeye hoops and more as we get ready for the Big Ten tournament. It starts in earnest with the Hawkeyes and the Fighting Illini at 4:30 on Wednesday. You touched
Todd,
on it.
Todd, let me ask you, what do you think of the New York?
Oh, I think it was one of the worst ideas Jim Delaney's ever had. He doesn't miss a whole lot, but this was an air ball.
I don't even know if he got the ball in the gym before he turned it over. I mean, I've talked to some Nebraska people that are huge fans, and they've got enough money, and they're retired, and they usually drive, and they're going, are you crazy? It'll take us 2 days to get there. You know, and 2 days back, and we don't know how long we'll be there. So, you know, you get people like that that, you know, are longtime Big Red, Hawkeye, Wisconsin fans, whatever you want. That's really bad for the fan base. And it's going to leave a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth.
I was out there for the Pinstripe Bowl, and New York just really doesn't care. I mean,
no, they don't.
It's not Big Ten country. There are plenty of alums that live there, but I always thought Chicago was a little indifferent to the Big Ten tournament.
Yep.
When it hosted. This is going to be an entirely.
That's why my favorite is Indianapolis.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the absolute best site I have ever seen. You know, I've been to the Valley Tournament. I've been to the SEC, been down to Kansas City, which is pretty good. But the Kansas City, Indianapolis-sized towns really eat up having, you know, 8, 10, 12 teams come in for a five-day area. And if you're just a basketball fan, you buy the season ticket or the week-long ticket. So it'll be interesting what happens. But I swear, the first round, second round, you will be able to count the people in attendance and challenge what they come up with for a official attendance. So it's not a good idea.
You mentioned a couple minutes ago the negative stories in college basketball today, and there are plenty of them. Sean Miller in Arizona now caught up in this FBI wiretapping, and it seems to be the tip of the iceberg. How ugly is this going to get, Mac, before everything is said and done?
Well, I'll go back to my own personal history. I coached an AAU team pretty much out of the Waterloo area, but we did have a couple of pretty good players that we tried to ship in for a while, and that was Ryan Bowen and Rafe LaFrance. But it made it a very good team. And we were rated, or whatever you want to say, by Basketball Weekly, like 3, 4, or 5 pretty much all year. And, you know, when you have Rafe LaFrance, Ryan Bowen, you've got Clay Edwards, who goes to Iowa State and is captain 3 times. You've got Kent McCausland as a terrific shooter, even in high school. People came to watch, and only one time did I have anybody approach me in what I would have called a dishonorable way that they wanted to get a chance to meet some of the players at night or in breakfast. And, of course, that would have been an illegal contact. Since then, what I have seen and observe and have a real good feel for is the shoe companies. That's where the money comes from. You don't have a whole lot of alumni, even though maybe some people think that and some people can do it. An alumnus may give $100. You know, they talk about the $100 handshake in certain conferences or the $500 handshake. I mean, that's insignificant compared to when you say, I'll give you $10,000 to your mother for a loan. I'll give them $100,000, $50,000. And when you have all that going on, and it is, there's no question. Now, how extensive? I kind of kidded a Big Ten coach and said, you know, the conference isn't very good. I guess we got to cheat more, you know, because that's what you're seeing other schools do. But in the end, this thing will never get cleaned up, never, because everybody, you know, wants to be the best in whatever it takes. A job that may be kind of illegal, a payment that's illegal, doing something for the parents or the uncle. And AAU coaches, they see it sometimes, not all, I'll guarantee you. In fact, I think it's a minority that AAU coaches use it as a stepping stone to maybe become a graduate assistant or a bench assistant, work summer camps at different coaches' places. It's there. There's no question. But I think, A, it would be hard to govern, and then, B, I just don't see how you can stop it. Cash is cash, and for a lot of people, it speaks a lot of words. I mean, in the old days, I will tell you this. I don't think I can be sued. I'm going to think about this. No. You know, the state of Kentucky has racetracks. And what do racetracks have? Cash. So, I mean, you can jump to your own conclusion there. Other states, it's hard to trace cash. It's just going on, and it's not going to stop. And if it's true that the FBI has 3,000 taped conversations, I would surmise 50 to 100 of them deal with talking numbers, talking when, talking where, talking how, where's the money coming from. So it's ugly, and I hate to throw other people under the bus, but when you get to football, I mean, that's 10 times the players, 10 times, 9 times. You know, what has gone on there for years and at what schools?
Great stuff as always, Mac. I wouldn't hold off on the chips and salsa too long Wednesday, Iowa and Illinois. I'd probably start eating them right at tip-off because you may not need them.
You might as well eat them and enjoy the game, right?
Yeah, enjoy what's left of this season because I don't think there's a whole lot.
All right, before we go, I want both your predictions on Iowa, Illinois. Who's going to win by how much?
Oof. I give Illinois the nod and score. I had, what was it, 104-97 the last time they met in Champaign and went to overtime. I'll say Illinois wins 85-74. How about that?
I'll go Illinois by 5. I won't predict a score.
That's not an option.
What's
fine.
A 2-0 forfeit or what?
75-70.
Ooh. So I like 78-77 Hawkeyes.
I have an old adage about people predict 1-point wins for teams, Mac. It usually means read between the lines, but I won't hold you to that.
That's right.
Okay.
And guess what? You're probably absolutely right. I think it'll be a good game. I really do. I think all of us think it has a chance to be a pretty good game. This is what you call a salvage game. You know, you're trying to save the season, get a little excited for next year. It's the ones that Northwestern used to do where they'd win a couple and you'd say, God, they got to play Michigan State now. And then, you know, boom, they lose by 20. So here we go, guys.
Bob Brooks would be proud of that prediction. Mac McCausland, terrific stuff as always. We'll touch base with you next week.
Thank you.
Postseason honors out for the Big Ten men. We already know Megan Gustafson's the player of the year as voted on by the media. The Big Ten taking the easy way out, splitting that award. Come on. A couple Iowa Hawkeye men's players on the honorable mention rolls. Kyle will tell you who they are when we return after this. A big board update and WWE tickets right around the corner.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning a power rate and ATM refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking say they recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Get great deals going on now during Menards Priced Right Sale. Right now is a perfect time to update the look of your home with over 700 ceiling fans, 17% off. We have the largest in-stock selection of Hunter fans, including contemporary industrial styles with LED bulbs, starting at only $64. All Hunter fans are 17% off on sale now. Save big money during Menards Priced Right Sale. Going on now through March 3rd.
Save big money at Menards.
Cedar Valley Entertainment presents Saturday, June 23rd, live at the U.S. Cellular Center at Cedar Rapids. T-Pain, Ja Rule, and Mike Jones. Tickets on sale now at the U.S. Cellular Center box office, Ticketmaster.com, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. T-Pain, Ja Rule, and Mike Jones at the U.S. Cellular Center, Saturday, June 23rd. Get your tickets now.
529, welcome back in. Tickets to see the WWE's Road to WrestleMania will be yours in just a few minutes. But before we can give you those, the guy who's going to be answering the phone has to give you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes avoided the worst conference record in program history yesterday with a 77-70 victory over Northwestern. Jordan Bohannon had a team-high 25 points, but the highlight of the night was a shot that he missed late in the second half. With Iowa leading by 8 with just over 2 minutes left, Bohannon stepped to the free throw line with a chance to break the late Chris Street's consecutive free throw record, at which point he missed and pointed to the sky. He told the Big Ten Network, quote, "That's not my record to have." Megan Gustafson had 36 and 15 to help the Hawkeye women win their 7th straight, 75-62 over Indiana. She finishes her season leading the nation in scoring, 5th in rebounding, and 3rd in field goal percentage, and today the media named her the Big Ten Player of the Year. Kathleen Doyle was also named second team all-conference by the coaches, and all those same awards came out on the men's side of things as well. Tyler Cook and Jordan Bohannon were both given honorable mention. Junior Cole McDonald pitched 7 innings without an earned run yesterday in an 8-2 victory over New Orleans. After falling to Ball State on Saturday, 5 Hawkeyes had multi-hit performances on Sunday to move to 5-1. They're going to host Cornell College tomorrow at 4. And Iowa State's Lindell Wigginton scored 29 points over the weekend and today was named the Big 12 Newcomer of the Year for the third time. We're going to be out at 6:25 today as we cover some Marion basketball on 107.5 from the North Gym. We've got the girls against Fairfield from the state tournament. We've also got the boys in a sub-state final hosting Davenport Assumption on 106.3 FM the South Gym and 1600 AM the historic Main Gym.
Here's why women's basketball is a joke. And I say that with all due respect, because I don't really think it's a joke. But the media voted Megan Gustafson the Player of the Year. She was Player of the Week 9 times this season. Nine times, to paraphrase Ed Rooney from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Thank you for picking up on that. The coaches didn't name her the Player of the Year in the Big Ten. Everybody's got to get a trophy. Somebody can't be dominant in this day and age. We've got to make everybody feel good about themselves. I don't understand, and this is, I don't think this is me being a homer. I don't know how you can look at her, to borrow from Fran McCaffrey's vocabulary on Friday, I don't know how you can look at her entire body of work and say, somebody else is Player of the Year. If that's not it, you know what? The only thing more dangerous than Megan Gustafson on the floor could be Megan Gustafson with a chip on her shoulder. And I didn't think anything could probably give her one at this point, but that may just do it. The media actually got it right, in my opinion. The coaches, and these are the coaches, they're the ones who have to game plan for. None of them could stop her. And she's not the Player of the Year. It seems a little ridiculous to me. I'll sleep fine tonight. It's not going to cost me a minute of shut-eye. But You want to talk about ridiculous? Come on, Big Ten women's coaches. 319-366-1600. That is the number to call right now. If you don't have anything going on Sunday night and you would like to go see WWE's Road to WrestleMania, I am telling you, this is probably the best card Cedar Rapids has ever had for a Road to WrestleMania event. AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, a two-on-one handicap match for the title, Jinder Mahal, Randy Orton, Charlotte Flair, and more. Caller number 6, 319-366-1600. You're going to be off to the U.S. Cellular Center. Again, the show is Sunday, 5 o'clock. Tickets on sale right now. You can buy them if you don't win them with us this week at Ticketmaster.com or at the U.S. Cellular Center box office. The Olympics are over, and that can mean only one thing. When we return, the final Alex Kuhn Olympic update.
We're going to head to a bottom of the hour break, which is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
You'll find more and more companies in the IT business charging a flat rate to their client each month, but we don't have that here. I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. We would never charge somebody just to have a relationship with them, only for services that we provide, because we really value the relationship that we have with our clients.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
The final lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
NASCAR Cup Series race number 2 is in the books from Atlanta Motor Speedway, and here's how they ran 5-1. Martin Truex Jr. recovered from starting 35th due to inspection issues. Then you got Denny Hamlin, Clint Bowyer, and Brad Keselowski with his third top 5 at this track.
No, nobody had anything for Kevin today. I mean, shoot, not that I'm aware of. I think we all threw everything we had at him, and he was better today. He drove a great race, and he had a really, really fast car, and that's a potent combination. If he hadn't had the pit road issue today, he probably would have led almost 300-some laps.
Oh, man, victory lane is where we're headed. Dominating this race at the site of his very first career Cup Series win, Kevin Harvick, the class of the field, led 181 laps for only his second career win in Atlanta, despite being the best car for the last 5 years.
Just really happy to come back to victory lane. It's been a long time since I've been able to drive into victory lane here on Sunday, and honestly, I had any idea that we would even have a chance of running this race today. So to get the race in, and you know, it'll make it a lot better on the guys getting out west and take some pressure off of that, because it's a pretty hectic time, and you know, of travel and different things like that.
More Kevin stats for you. It's his 9th straight season with at least one win. 15th win for him at Stewart Haas Racing. It's the 40th win for Stewart Haas Racing as an organization, and the second time a driver has swept the Xfinity and Cup race at Atlanta.
TheFinalLap.com.
Tonight, America's favorite, The Voice, returns with new coach, 3-time Grammy winner, Kelly Clarkson.
I love how excited you are. That's how excited I am. It's my first time, too.
And she's on fire.
Kelly has no experience on this show.
I had enough experience that he had me mentor his team on the second season.
Careful, Clarkson. You're making enemies early.
Kelly Clarkson joins Adam, Blake, and Alicia on the return of 4-time Emmy winner, The Voice, tonight, followed by the premiere of Good Girls on NBC.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
There are still companies that care, companies that have your back, companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things, like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties, that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
Imagine you're given a new car of your choice. There's only one catch. This is the last car you're ever going to get in your life. You would baby that car. Well, you don't just get one car in your life. You get one mind and one body. And it's what you do today that determines how your mind and body operates years from now.
You have one body. Take care of it. Know more about you and your DNA. Order your 23andMe kit today at 23andMe.com.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, as well as 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency, heard all across eastern Iowa right now. 107.5 FM has Centerpoint Urbana basketball, boys and girls postseason action, girls state tournament going on at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines. The next couple weeks here are going to be extremely hectic. You're going to have to look around to find us, plan ahead. We'll try to do our best to let you know what frequencies we will not be on because of high school basketball. Things get even trickier tomorrow night because 1600 is going to have Iowa State, Oklahoma State from Hilton Coliseum. So the best thing I can do is point you toward KGYMradio.com. You can also, while you're there, vote in our poll question today. If you were Jordan Bohannon, how would you have handled last night? Would you have made the free throw to break Chris Dreet's record, or would you have intentionally missed it, as Jordan did? Now, I wondered why some people would be salty about Jordan Bohannon missing that free throw. As I said, I think some folks could look at this and say the ultimate way to honor the competitor that Chris Dreet was on the court would be to make the free throw. You don't throw the record away just to honor him. I think he may have liked the record being broken. No, that's not the reason why some people are salty about it. Do you know what the over-under in Las Vegas was on that game last night? What it opened at? It opened at 147.5 points. Now, the total was bet down, so chances are the majority of folks who were on the under wound up winning anyway. But the opening line was 147.5 points. The final score last night, Iowa 77, Northwestern 70.
Is it possible for ESPN to do a feel-good story about Jordan Bohannon and also for that to show up on Bad Beats on Scott Van Pelt tonight?
I didn't even think about that.
I mean,
and I look, the implication there is not warranted. There's nothing nefarious about that at all. But it just goes to show you how good those guys are out in the desert, that that's what the number was. And 1 point may have cost some people some money. But
if you're betting on that game, you might need to call a number.
Oh, you can go look at Todd Brommelkamp, at Todd Brommelkamp on Twitter. Give me a follow. You can page down through yesterday's tweets. About 15 minutes before that game tipped off last night, I said Iowa as a 3.5-point favorite was money in the bank last night. Money in the bank, by the way, a WWE term. Congratulations to Mike in Cedar Rapids. He's going to be going to see the road to WrestleMania at the U.S. Cellular Center Sunday night, 5 o'clock. You'll pick these tickets up at the Cell Center if you are one of our winners. We've got tickets for you all week here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And speaking of Alex, he's been rather droll around the office today. I was trying to figure out what was bothering him, and I thought, well, maybe... Oh.
You figured it out, didn't you?
Yeah, maybe when he went to pick up lunch today, they were out of his usual Chinese. I didn't know, and then it dawned on me. The Olympics are over, and that means only one thing. It's time now for the final installment. This is number 11, the final installment of Alex Kuhn's Olympic Update. Better be the best one yet.
It will not be. Norway runs away with the medal count.
You're saying your flame is extinguished
already. Yes, it already has. It was extinguished last night with the closing ceremonies. Norway tied with Germany as far as gold medals were concerned with 14 each, but they took home 39 medals as a nation, while Germany came in second with 31. Canada in third with 29 total medals, 11 of them gold, and the United States of America came up with 23 medals, 9 of them gold. And a lot of people are willing to say that it was somewhat of a disappointing Winter Olympics for the United States. I think that a lot of those, I disagree with that, because some of those medals came in very important places, including women's hockey, where the United States of America won gold for the first time since 1998, something that happened over the winter, over the weekend, that never happened in the history of USA Winter Olympics. The United States won a gold medal with a 10-7 victory over Sweden in men's curling. They had never placed higher than bronze in any curling event, and Jesse Diggins and Keegan Randall brought home the first ever gold medal for women's cross-country skiing. So I think that those were the biggest storylines for the USA in the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang. The biggest story heading into yesterday's closing ceremony was whether or not the Olympic athletes from Russia were going to be able to carry their flag during the closing ceremonies. The International Olympic Committee had to decide whether or not to reinstate them. They decided that they would not. The ban remains on Russia, and a lot of people expected that because two of their athletes were caught doping at the Olympics. One of them a curler, one of them a bobsledder that wore a t-shirt famously saying that she was not involved in any doping. And for those of you who are big Winter Olympics fans, not to worry, it'll be back in 4 years, this time in Beijing. As we mentioned earlier, Beijing, the first city to host, will be the first city to have hosted the Summer and Winter Games.
For those of you who think curling is easy, A.J. Blazek, the former Iowa offensive lineman who's now the offensive line coach at Rutgers, took the Rutgers offensive lineman curling.
Oh, I got to see this.
And there's video, and it's 300-pound guys talking about how athletic they are and how easy it's going to be, and they are falling all over the place. So you can search Rutgers football's Twitter account. I can't imagine that gets a ton of action this time of year, and see that video. The Russia doping thing to me is a tremendous story because it just goes to show they don't care.
No,
they were doing it at the games. They doped in curling. The bobsledder who wore the sweatshirt that said, "I don't dope," was caught cheating. I don't know how you can let them compete in the games ever again. I would just ban them. But to each their own.
I thought they should have been banned for the 2016 games, but that wasn't going to happen because money was transferred under the table by their fearless leader.
Oh, Sean Miller? Yeah, on the Olympic committee over there, or what?
Yes, but no, not actually. But the
glad you cleared that up.
The 60 Minutes story about a year ago that just showed how widespread this was, and none of this would have been known but for that. A husband of a former sprinter in Russia who was basically forced to take banned substances blew the whistle on the entire federation, the entire delegation of the Russia Winter and Summer Olympic Games, and just showed that it wasn't encouraged in that country. There was no encouragement about it. These athletes were forced to take banned substances over and over and over again, and it didn't matter what sport, doesn't matter what competition, doesn't matter what time of year. If they think that they can get an advantage from doing it, they're going to do it, and it doesn't matter how many times you try to punish them by taking away medals. They just kept doing it, and this time they couldn't even carry their flag at the opening ceremonies, and their athletes were under an Olympic flag, and still that wasn't enough deterrent to keep them from cheating. And it just goes to show, like we talk about with all of these coaches in college basketball, people that cheat make a lifestyle of cheating.
I would have tested the person carrying the flag, because chances are they probably doped before carrying the flag. Even though it was the Olympic rings, you got to give yourself a little bit of a boost if you're going to carry that flag. 319-366-1600. The Olympics are over. Alex Kuhn's Olympic updates are over. I like how you tied cheating at the Olympics into cheating in college basketball, because a major story that broke over the weekend, Arizona's Sean Miller, brother of Archie Miller, who is now the head coach at Indiana, reportedly caught via wiretaps that were in place from the FBI, talking about making direct payments for the procurement of players. Don't go through the... I said, no, go directly through me. Tip of the iceberg, folks. It's just the beginning. 319-366-1600. And I know there are some folks out there that say, hey, man, the FBI has better things to worry about right now.
That's probably true.
It's still
doesn't matter.
Breaking the law. And we're not talking about a tiny office with 15 people in it. There are thousands of FBI agents, including now former Chicago Bear, Peanut Tillman,
who's reportedly
joined the Bureau.
What is his official title? A special, not a correspondent, but I'll have to look that up. But I found it interesting that Sean Miller says, and I guess it's not that interesting because it's just the way of the land here in 2018, but I've done nothing wrong and I will be, quote, fully vindicated. You got caught on wiretap.
Taking a page from the Pitino playbook.
By the FBI. What are you even denying at this point? We know that you did this. This there's nothing to really debate about this situation. I who advises these guys to come out and make a statement? Why just stay quiet for a while. Let the facts come out, and maybe if there's some kind of extenuating circumstance, we'll find out about it. And when you can, if you have that kind of proof, bring it to light. But to come out and just lie to our faces, it's just becoming such an insult to our intelligence that they think that we're so stupid to where we wouldn't believe that this guy was caught red-handed by the FBI. I just am so tired of it.
There are some other major stories in the college basketball ranks as well. One of them involving the Iowa Barnstormers, the AAU team that many, many high-profile high school players have passed through the program. One of the coaches that involved in that program is within the crosshairs of law enforcement agencies for possessing videos of players who did not realize that they were being filmed while they were in the shower. Very similar. We told you the story several weeks ago about the baseball agent. I actually represented Cedar Rapids native Mitch Keller and his brother John. I believe he represented both Keller brothers. I know he represented Mitch, who's the number one prospect in the Pirates organization. But similar allegations there as well, that there was some sort of covert camera set up. It's allegations at this point. The Associated Press has done a tremendous job with the story. And my favorite part about it is his father says it's fake news, and the teams have been great for the community. They're great for the community. There's no story there. I've got my fingers crossed that hopefully it comes to a decent resolution, that if there were victims, the number and scope of the amount of victims will be limited. But you never know. And we'll see what details develop with that case as it moves forward. It was breaking. The Associated Press broke it Friday night at about 6:30 when Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com and I were here in the KGYM studios on the air. So tip of the iceberg there, Ryan Foley, the AP writer doing the majority of the reporting on that case, is an acquaintance of mine. In the interest of full disclosure, I will throw that out there. I think he does tremendous work for the Associated Press, and scandals all over the place.
Never underestimate the power of denial. That's all I'll say.
I've talked a number of times on this program about minor league baseball teams that the trend now is changing their names for like one night or on the weekends. And I've said it probably, a dozen times. I think the Colonels are missing the boat by not adopting the Tenderloin. They could be the Tenderloins for one night and make a boatload of money off it. But the Colonels are going to be taking on the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers in Appleton this summer. And one of the nights that they are facing the Timber Rattlers, they will not be facing the Timber Rattlers. They're going to be playing the Wisconsin Brats. Very tasty.
That seems kind of low-hanging fruit. That's too easy.
Well, so is tenderloins. But I don't know. I'm telling you, I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker for these things. I got a cap on the way from the folks down in Charleston, the River Dogs. Give me a reason to spend my money, and I will. I hope Jack Dom is listening. I'll see you Sunday night. 5:55. We'll keep it right here. Kyle's going to bring you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes avoided the worst conference record in program history yesterday with a 77-70 victory over Northwestern. Jordan Bohannon had a team-high 25 points with 6 boards and 5 assists, but the highlight of the night was a shot that he missed late in the second half. With Iowa leading by 8 with just over 2 minutes left, Bohannon stepped to the free throw line with a chance to break the late Chris Street's consecutive free throw record, but chose to miss on purpose and then pointed to the sky. He told the Big Ten Network, quote, "That's not my record to have." Megan Gustafson had 36 and 15 to help the Hawkeye women win their 7th straight, 75-62 over Indiana. She finished her season leading the nation in scoring, 5th in rebounding, and 3rd in field goal percentage, and today the media named her the Big Ten Player of the Year. Kathleen Doyle was also named second team all-conference by the coaches, and all those honors came out for the men as well, and Iowa's Tyler Cook and Jordan Bohannon received honorable mention. Junior Cole McDonald pitched 7 innings without an earned run yesterday in an 8-2 victory over New Orleans. After falling to Ball State on Saturday, 5 Hawkeyes had multi-hit performances on Sunday to move to 5-1. They host Cornell College tomorrow at 4. Iowa State fell to number 21 West Virginia on Saturday night, 85-70, but Lindell Wigginton looked okay with 29 points. Today, he was named the Big 12 Newcomer of the Year for the third time. We're going to be out at 6:25 today as we cover some Marion basketball. On the North Gym, we've got the girls against Fairfield from the state tournament, and we've also got the boys in a sub-state final hosting Davenport Assumption on the South Gym and the historic Main Gym.
All right, if you missed our number one and Jordan Bohannon's comments about intentionally missing a free throw attempt to not break Chris Street's free throw records, you're in luck, because we're going to play it again for you coming up as we finish up an abbreviated program tonight. Hour number three, only about 15, 20 minutes long because of high school basketball, and a whole lot more on the way tomorrow, a Tuesday edition of the program. And Iowa State taking on Oklahoma State at Hilton Coliseum. Lots to preview coming up on a Tuesday edition of the show. 2 hours down, the abbreviated third and final hour coming your way on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. Our South Gym in Iowa City kicks off as we return after this.